Yeah, right? I can't talk when James Higgins sings. Okay. This is our month of expanded horizons. That's what we were talking about this month. And the first Sunday, we talked to far and wide, how we must become more to life if we wish to experience more in our daily lives. Remember the sphere of availability. We talked about pushing through the sphere of availability, through the fears of our own making, so that we can manifest more in our lives. And last week, Reverend Angela spoke to us about going higher, you know, knowing that greater truth for ourselves as spiritual entities. And so today we're going to explore the long view. The long view. The long view is about seeing beyond our, you know, our physical senses. You know, we're limited by our physical senses. So taking the long view is really looking beyond that, looking beyond the horizon, seeing with the mind's eye about what is possible for our lives instead of through our senses. You know, when you watch track and field events, do we have that slide? When you watch track and field events and you look at the hurdles, look at those fabulous women athletes up there. They've got their eye on the finish line. They're not looking down at that hurdle, are they? They are keeping their eye on the goal. None of them are looking at the obstacle. They're all looking at the goal. Joseph Kosman said this. He said, obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off of your goal. So we need to begin with that end result already in mind. We need to begin with the end result and not let anything distract us from that. You know, when I took motorcycle lessons, right? When it was a couple of weeks ago. Fabulous, you should do that. Even if you don't want to ride a motorcycle, take it anyway. It's like thrilling. It is just so thrilling to be that terrified. Anyway. Really, it is. It was wonderful. Anyway, so they would put cones up, you know, on the course, and you had to ride around the cones. You know, you have to make turns and do all that kind of stuff. And here's the thing. They would yell at us from the distance, look at where you want to go. Don't look at the cones. Why? Because if you look at the cones, you run over the cones. That's exactly what happens. What you look at is where you go on a motorcycle. So you look at the cones, you run over the cones. Look at where you want to be. They would say, look around the turn, look around the turn, don't look down. Absolutely the same thing. And you know, there is some data that suggests those single car runoff road accidents, you know, the single car ROR accidents that occur on these long straight stretches of road, like, you know, from here to Vegas. Those single car ROR accidents, they say almost 19% of them are caused by people looking at the telephone poles. And they just go there. They just go there. They keep looking at them. They get mesmerized by them. They get fatigued. Whatever it is, they start looking at them, and they're single car runoff road accidents. There's nobody around them for miles, and they just run off the road. Because they're looking at the obstacles, they're not looking at their goal. They're not looking at where they want to be. Instead of keeping our eyes on the goal, we get distracted, right, by the obstacles, by the details. We want to complete our goal. We want to accomplish our goal. We have to keep our consciousness on the goal. Ernest Holmes said this in A New Design for Living. He said, quite often, goals are set up for the standard of living or for an income desired. This is fine and this is needed. But once that goal is reached, we need to be sure that we establish another, or the first goal becomes the limiting factor on any future accomplishment. You see where that can happen? That goal that we've already accomplished becomes our limitation. So we have to continue to set another goal. We have to continue to be that idea in our mind's eye greater than we have. The long view says we must resonate with the feeling and the thought and the mental atmosphere of that greater self that we are. We must keep our attention on our desires and not on our obstacles. And the reason is we stand in a field of infinite potential, right? You've heard us talk about that. We resonate. We stand in this field of infinite potential. That means that everything is in it. If it is infinite potential, we stand in this field of limitless possibilities. If we are there, and we truly believe that we are, we stand in a field of infinite potential, then the potential of our heart's desire is there. The fear that we will not attain that is also there. It is limitless field. That means whatever we spend our mental energy on is there. the object of our goal, and the blocks that will keep us from achieving that goal are there. If it is an infinite field of potential, it is all there. Limitless possibilities that we're standing in. That means whatever we're spending our mental energy on, whatever that is, that emotional charge, wherever that emotional charge is, whatever we are dwelling in, that will most likely manifest. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, every human being thrills at the thought of having dreams come true. Don't we? It's true, right? The idea means different things to different people. To one, it may mean physical health, the ability to walk, run, play, engage in activities. To another, it may mean abundance, a car, a home, opulence. There's that word. I love opulence. Anyway, to another, he goes on to say, the dream may mean education, or the ability to get along with people, or to have a loving mate. Whatever that personal desire may be, as long as it does not hurt anyone else, you have a right to attain them. That's big. You have a right to attain them. And he goes on to say, and you can. So long as they don't hurt anyone. I love that caveat. Ernest Holmes taught us that this is a philosophy of life. Right? He said it's a faith, a philosophy, and a way of life. This is a philosophy of life. And he used to say, this is not a get-rich-quick scheme. Right? He said, I don't teach you you can get what you want. He said, even if he could, he said, we couldn't get out of this room without annihilating each other, because inevitably some of us would want something that would be in direct opposition to somebody else in this very room. So we don't teach that. Instead of the idea of getting, we teach the idea of becoming. We are becoming. That is different and it's bigger. Can you hear the consciousness of expansiveness in that? We are a teaching of becoming. You know, if we were for something, that means we would be against something else in this dualistic world we live in. That's not what we teach. We don't have to be for something and against something in order to accomplish anything. If we are experiencing ill health, we don't pray for health. We become that. We resonate with wellness. We become health. We resonate down to the cell and the atom of our body, from our mental ability to think health to our physical resonating with it, to that experiential feeling of it. We become health. If we need a job, we don't pray for a job like we don't have one. We resonate with the feelings of working. What does that feel like? The joy of contributing, the wholeness of paying our bills in full and on time, the abundance of being amply rewarded for a job well done at the end of the week or the end of the month, right? We become all of that. We feel it, we know it, we resonate with it. Every cell, every molecule of our body becomes that thing. If we long for a significant other, we become that person we wish to attract into our experience, right? We resonate with the qualities of that person that's coming into our sphere of availability. We give to others. We become that person we wish to attract, right? We welcome friends. We extend ourselves. We become friends to the whole world. We become that person we wish to attract into our sphere. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, let us keep in mind that we do not only have the God-given ability to do this kind of results-oriented thinking, but that we also have the right to it. Every thought that is a negation must be changed to an affirmation. When we do so, the power that constantly flows through us will respond by producing the new experience we have affirmed. Yeah? Make sense? We turn away, like Ernest Holmes always say, we turn away from the negation and we declare the affirmation. We reverse our position in the law, regardless of what the mainstream is saying, regardless of what the human race consciousness is flowing through us. We turn away from that. We reverse our position in the stream of consciousness, and we stand in the truth of our beliefs. We allow that power and presence to flow through us, through the affirmation, and it flows with different consequences. We can only demonstrate that which we are aligned with. Ernest Holmes used to say, consciousness can only do for us what it can do through us. Right? Consciousness can only do for us what it can do through us. Which means we have to be a vibrational match for the thing of our desire. In order to have it come into our sphere of availability, in order for it to manifest, we have to be a vibrational match for that. We have to align with the things of our desire. And then we let God be God, right? The how is not up to us. The how is the domain of spirit. How? I don't know. God knows. I love that phrase because it's true. God knows. I don't know. The how? Not our problem. Not our challenge. The how is the domain of spirit. The when? Oh, that's pretty funny too, isn't it? You know, they always say God's not late, but, you know, most of the time in my finding is God's not early either. You know, it's like just right on time. The when clearly is not up to us either, but that's another talk. In 10 lessons on the home study course, Ernest Holmes said this. He said, we should never condemn ourselves because we have not reached our goal. Rather, we should realize the ground upon which we stand is holy ground. Our opportunity for the practice of the presence of good and the application of the divine law exists right where we are. So we release the how, we release the when, we just continue to know the goal. We continue to know the truth for ourselves. We continue to know the good, right? Emma Curtis Hopkins says, everything alive moves toward its good. Everything. She said the worm in the dirt moves toward its good. The sunflower growing in the field turns toward its good. Everything moves toward its good. We do the same thing. So we keep the good in mind. We keep the goal in mind. We keep our eyes on the goal, and we do what is in front of us to do, just like those hurdlers, right? They flew over those hurdles. They weren't looking at the hurdles. They were looking at the goal. They do what they need to do. We do what is in front of us to do, all the while holding the long view. And there's a couple of things that we need to know while we're doing this, while we're hurdling. Rule number one. Spirit has no plan for us. Breathe that in. Spirit has no plan for us other than the plan we have for ourselves. Spirit, like Ernest Holmes used to say, is just love. It's just love. And it lies in smiling repose. It lies in smiling repose. It is just love. It is just beingness. It has no plan for us other than the plan we make for ourselves. Because the universe always says yes. That is it. That's all it does. Here's the other thing. I don't think anybody's breathing. Here's the other thing. Breathe through this. Spirit does not put blocks in our way as a way of testing us. It does not happen. God knows what's in our hearts. God knows the prayer that is on our heart, the goal that is in our mind. Those blocks are not there as Spirit's way of telling us we can't have what we want. The obstacle is not there to get you to change your mind. God doesn't test. God doesn't trick. God doesn't lay obstacles in our path to make us go a different way, or to see just how determined we are on the goal that we set. God's plan for us is our plan for us, come what may. Come what may. And if the plan starts getting difficult, if the path starts getting difficult, well, some things are difficult to accomplish. Life, that's life, you know? Hey, people in AA stay sober, right? I'm sure not all of it's easy. I can almost guarantee not all of that path is easy. I bet you there were stumbling blocks and pitfalls along the way. I'm sure there are setbacks. I'm sure of it. But the people in AA know that the goal is worthwhile, and so they persevere, right? They persevere. It's not always easy, but they do it. Some people want to get a degree in college. It may be hard work. It may be long hours. It may be studying to the wee hours of the morning, but they do it because they have their eyes on a goal. There's something they want to accomplish, and they won't take their eyes off the goal. Is it always easy? I don't think so. You You've stayed up all night studying for a test, haven't you? I'm sure every one of us in the room has stayed up long hours studying for one kind of a test or another. It's not always easy. But those difficulties, those stumbling blocks and obstacles, they're not put in your path to trick you up, to get you to fall down or to test your commitment. They're there because they're there. Because they're things that we have to go through in order to get what we want. You know, Dr. Seuss received 27 rejection letters before he printed, before he got his first book published. His first book, 27 rejection letters. He could have decided that, oh, well, I guess it's spirit's thought that, you know, I guess it must be God's plan that I don't publish. After the 5th rejection letter, after the 10th rejection letter, he could have taken it as a sign. I guess God doesn't want me to be a children's book writer. Oh, well. After the 15th letter, after the 20th rejection letter, right? I mean, how many of us would have went, oh, screw that, you know? Oh, I'm sorry. You know what I mean, right? You know, it's like, oh, well, I guess God doesn't want me on this path. He could have taken it as that. No, he doubled down, you know? No, I'll send it someplace else. I'll send it someplace else. 27 rejection letters. That's a lot of rejection, I gotta tell you. He kept his eye on the goal, and he did what was in front of him to do. You know? Oh, they didn't want to publish it? Fine, great, that's not my publisher. Let me send it to somebody else. Oh, I got a rejection letter. Okay, well, that's not my publisher either. Good thing, got it out of the way. Let me send to another publisher, right? Governor Brown, do you know Governor Jerry Brown? 4 times he took the bar before he passed it. After 1 or 2, you might start to wonder, you know? 4 times before he passed it. It's okay. Keep his head down, go forward. Do it again. That obstacle was not there to get him to quit. It wasn't there so Spirit was telling him, you really shouldn't. It was hard. He kept doing it. You know, we heard stories. You've heard stories of Thomas Edison, right? How many different ways can you not make a light bulb? He used to say that, right? And the story is he tried 1,000 different ways. The story has become 5,000 different ways. Sometimes you've heard that same story 10,000 different ways not to make a light bulb. Because that's how many different experiments he did before he got a successful incandescent light bulb. Well, it was more like 2,774. According to his assistant, Francis Upton, that's how many experiments that they did. When we hold the long view, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the obstacles. We have our eyes out there, and we do what's in front of us to do. We hold the long view. We keep going and doing what is in front of us, and we leave it up to Spirit. We keep resonating in the energy, in the vibration of the goal as if it is accomplished, and we keep moving forward. We keep the goal the predominant thought, feeling, and emotion, and then that manifests, that begins to outpicture. We've got to take our minds and our attention, our energy and our vibration off of the obstacles, off of the ways it can't work out, off of the ways where it's gotten difficult, and we have to continue to know the truth. We have to continue to know the goal as if it were completed. Ernest Holmes said this, practical wisdom on staying young. I love that. He said, we must always be looking for new goals to achieve, new ideas which sharpen our enthusiasm. We must keep our interest in life so active that there will be an element of wonder and surprise in simple everyday things. Life is an activity. And when we stop being active, either mentally or physically, we turn away from the newness of life itself. Let us make up our minds that yesterday is gone forever. Tomorrow has not yet arrived, but today can be filled with wonder if we know we stand always on the threshold of that which is wonderful and new. Wonderful and new. And that's the long view. It doesn't matter if you've accomplished your goal. There is another goal, isn't there? There's something new to do. There is something new to learn. You know, we have a tendency to shy away from the beginner's brain because we're going to be bad at it. right? If you are an expert in everything you do in your life, you're not learning anything. You need to have that beginner's brain. Try something new. Challenge yourself. Have that long view. Take those motorcycle lessons. Let me tell you, it was like really good. I hadn't ridden a motorcycle in 40 years, and oh my gosh, it was wonderful to get back on a motorcycle. Take that long view. Set yourself a goal. I know they say, you know, you want to make God laugh, tell God your plans. I get that. But that's only when we are attached to the how. That is only when we're attached to the how do we get waylaid along the way, because we have no idea about how it will manifest. So we take our hands off the how and we keep our eyes set on the goal. We keep that long view for our lives. Where are you going to be in 2 years or 5 years or 10 years? Who knows? But what do you want to feel like? What do you want to feel like? That's the important part. What do you want to resonate to? What do you want to be? What is that energy that you want to vibrate from? That's the important part. Health, joy, wellness, abundance. These are qualities of God. These are the things that we resonate to. These are the eternal truths of our nature. These are the qualities of God, therefore they're the qualities of us. And when we resonate with those, when we stand in alignment with those are the things that flow through us into our environment, into our experience of life. And isn't that really what we want? You know, we talk about wanting to win lotto. Everybody wants to win lotto. You know, the entire world wants to win lotto. But really, do we honestly? You know, oh, $100 million. You don't want $100 million. Well, you know, honestly, sometimes you do. But really, it's not the $100 million. It's what you think the $100 million is going to get you. You know, it's what you think it's going to do for you. It's going to pay all my bills on time and in full. It's going to allow me to take vacations. It's going to allow me to travel the world. It's going to whatever, fill in the blank. Those are the things you resonate to. It's not the money. It's what you think the money will do for you. So you resonate with those things. You resonate with the joy of travel, with the joy of paying your bills in full and on time, with the joy of the fullness of life. It's not the money, it's the energy that you're desiring. So be that energy now. Nothing is keeping us from being that energy here and now. Nothing is keeping us from feeling and resonating wholeness. Nothing is keeping us from feeling and resonating abundance. Nothing is keeping us except our own thoughts of lack and limitation that is keeping us from resonating unity or power or peace of mind. Nothing keeps us from resonating with any of those qualities of God but our own limited thinking. So this long view is the ability for us to feel that now. Feel it now, regardless, like I love Billy in your prayer, it was so perfect, regardless of the number of your bank account. You can feel that abundance. You can resonate with the truth, with the quality of God known as abundance. And you turn away from that, you know? That's a temporary condition. It changes moment by moment, doesn't it? So that's the long view, and that's what I am inviting you to look at this week, to keep your eyes on the goal. What is that goal? Where are you going? What are you seeing? What is it you're knowing is true for yourself? And to keep that long view. Keep the mind's eye on the goal while you do what is in front of you to do. That is your homework for this week. How does that sound? Thank you so much.